This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, all this raises the problem in getting all this across to people. And it's about the fact that they want a fast talking point about UFOs. It's easy to say, okay, they're spaceships. The government is keeping the truth a secret. That's a talking point. But as soon as you get to the complexities, well, it's this, that, and the other thing, and don't forget this aspect or that aspect, you lose people, which is very sad.
Well, it's, you know, going back to the cattle mutilation thing for a second, my real interest in animal mutilations began and stopped with the alien thing, because that's what I was looking into. Fern very much believed, by the way, that aliens were doing it, that it was an alien thing. And that there were other things involved, but he was in that. So that was the focus of the sort of research that I was doing to see whether that was true or not. And that goes back to Linda Moulton Howe and stuff. And, you know, one of the best interviews I ever did with Kevin Randall over the years was when he talked about cattle mutilations, because he had investigated animal mutes for APRO back in the 1970s. And he came to the conclusion that it was overwhelmingly scavengers, predation. There was no alien involvement. Now, he probably leaves some room for terrestrial, non-scavenger, predation kind of answers that might involve conspiracies, because there are real conspiracies. So if I wanted to hide, you know, the possibility that there's mad cow disease out there, or that it might be more prevalent than we think it is, or that we're doing research into it, then sure, you would create a cover for it. Something that could be easily dismissed, like space aliens mutilating cows. And we know that this has been done because the United States government, and I assume other governments, have done it with the UFO phenomenon to cover up testing of secret airplanes and stuff. So they would encourage the UFO stories, because if somebody saw something that was 5 or 10 years ahead of whatever we thought we had flying around in the skies, well, sure, call it a UFO, because then folks won't ask too many questions about maybe what that really is. Carl Flock told me something interesting once. We were kind of talking about this, and when it came to technology, Carl's sort of line was, whatever you think we have today is anywhere between 5 and 15 years behind what the military-industrial complex has already developed and is working on. So civilian applications are lagging behind what the military is doing. And he said eventually most of that stuff winds up in the civilian realm once it's no longer cutting edge. And, you know, I took everything Carl said pretty seriously, because he had worked in the intelligence community and in the Defense Department at a senior level. And so, yeah, the government uses these things and has used these things for years to cover up other things that they don't want us to know about. And it comes back to something about your president, Zayas, that I read the other day when the whole Hamilton brouhaha was coming up. And everybody, including most of my Facebook friends, were posting, this is either terrible, the vast majority of them, like, go away, Donald Trump. Stop criticizing Hamilton, the cast, and blah, blah, blah. Or there were a few people who were saying, well, Trump's right, and these people shouldn't have said what they said. Doesn't matter. This person who was either the New York Times or the New Yorker, I think, who said, look, you're missing the point. This is a distraction. Now, did Trump send Pence there on purpose, thinking that maybe this would happen to distract from something else? Who knows? But when these things pop up, sometimes organically, smart politicians will take advantage of them. Well, what else was going on at that very same time? Trump settled his Trump University court case for $25 million. Should have been a huge story, like massive. In fact, to me, a story that potentially disqualifies you from holding the presidency.
He made $150 million on the deal.
Right. Exactly. Good business, bad ethics and morals.
We got to keep away from the politics, but the misdirection we should get into.
Right. Well, I'm circling back to that. So you see this throughout everything, and I think you're about to head into 4 years of seeing it all the time. But he's not the only politician that has done this. Tony Blair was infamous for saying, look, drop bad news on a Friday, because nobody's paying attention on a Friday afternoon to what the news is. So it's all about misdirection. But the UFO phenomenon, people have done that, and the cattle mutilation thing, I have no doubt that there's some element of that going on as well there. I think that's the part that's always interested Greg Bishop, right? More than anything else, is the kind of games that the intelligence agencies in particular are playing with people. And so Greg and I have a difference of opinion on Bill Moore. Greg sees him in one light. I see him in a much different light. But there's no question that Bill Moore was involved in some way, shape, or form with some very hinky-jinky stuff with the intelligence agencies. So were they using him? Was he using them? Or were they both using each other? Maybe a little bit of all of those things. But that's a fascinating part of the UFO story that so many people now kind of forget. And they do it in politics. They do it everywhere else because they're so obsessed with the distraction. They're so easily distracted that they don't really kind of say, hey, it's like a card game or a magic. If you ever go to the Magic Castle, and you're a friend of his, has Paul Davids ever taken you to the Magic Castle in L.A., Chris?
No, I've actually never spent time with Paul in California. He was my landlord.
I know. I heard that in one of your old interviews. You should go to L.A. and ask him to take you to the Magic Castle because he's a member. And so you go in, and there's all the best parts are the card tricks because they're in much smaller rooms, and you can really get right down, almost right across from the guys doing the tricks. He's taken me there more than once, and I swear I have never been able to figure out how those guys are doing it because they're masters, and they will tell you. We're not going to tell you how you did it, but we distracted you. And I don't even know what the distraction was, but that's how they get the trick done. And so that's true in politics and government, but it's also true, very much true, I think, in the UFO phenomenon and in the cattle mutilation phenomenon and any of these things that we think of as paranormal. You know, having then gone out and done ghost investigating, too, it's the kind and going out again next year because we've just got a new television series that starts film. Thank you. Holly and I are back on the beat. We start filming.
All right. I love the footage of the orb, or whatever you want to call it.
Orbs are interesting. I mean, I don't buy orbs.
Well, the particular one in your film, it's not your classic, digital artifact. I mean,
it's the story, and I'll post, I think the clip is online, so I'll post this on your Paracast forums just so folks can see, rather than me describe it now, which would take 5 minutes. But it's the context of how that particular case came about. But it's easy, even when you're out investigating ghosts or stories of ghosts or whatever, to get distracted. When you're out there doing it, and for Holly and I, it's always a very personal thing. Yeah, we have the tech and everything. But for us, it was about, can we experience something? Can we interact with something? And it was a year that changed my thinking on a whole bunch of things because I did have experiences. But you've got to be focused. And it's so easy when you're sitting there or you're doing something to get distracted by something else. And it really, as we went along with the series, Holly and I became much more focused. And
methodology is really important. Methodology is absolutely crucial for all these types of investigative pursuits.
Yeah, well, and just keeping your mind sharp, like you're always on. Like when you're out there, now you can take a break. Let's go have a coffee. Let's have a tea or whatever. But when you go back out there, you're on. And it's almost like being a musician, because you and I were both musicians, Chris. If you're playing live, every song matters. Every moment of every song matters. You shouldn't, at least, if you're a professional, take a moment off. Same thing with directing a film. Well, the same thing is true with researching. If you're out there in the field, or if you're in an archive, or wherever you are, you've got to focus. And that's what you're there for. Then, when you're done, we'll go home and watch television or whatever. And unfortunately, I think in our modern society, so many people conflate the two so that the focus has dissipated. And that's where you run into the trouble of what we were originally talking about, fake news versus real news, fake reality versus real reality, which is just reality. And then there's the possibility, of course, which is why I love talking to Greg, who I interviewed yesterday for The Other Side of Truth. We always come back to talking about whether reality is reality. Our perceptions, the idea of co-creation, the idea of interacting with advanced non-human intelligences, all of that stuff is the really cool, mind-bending stuff that I love now. So here we are. This is not a criticism of either of you two guys or even me. It's self-criticism, I guess, of myself. We spent an hour and a half talking about, all of these very, not depressing, but kind of, they're just no fun. It's dark and serious, and these people are bad, or blah, blah, blah. I would it's not what interests me anymore, even though I just did it. What really interests me is the gee whiz conversation. So I often tell folks now, I say, look, if you're not having fun when you're doing this, you're not doing it right. If your mind isn't at least a little blown by the possibility of life after death or aliens on other planets or whatever, then you're in the wrong business, or you're in the wrong, you should go do something else. Because this should be fun. This should be exciting. This should be mind-blowing and thought-provoking. And if it isn't all of those things, then you shouldn't be doing it, because you're not doing it right.
Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien, Paul Kimball, you're in
the Paracast.
The award-winning graphic converter, the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. Get 20% off from lemkesoft.de/gene. That's lemkesoft.de/gene. As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the run list? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room.
Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah.
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, four-season sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
This is a sort of discussion that may continue into after the Paracast because we'll never get it done. Talk about the sense of wonder, I think, is the thing that attracted me to UFOs. Oh, my heavens, maybe we are being visited by ET and there's something going on here and we need to understand it. And then you get in the weeds and you have all these side issues like Men in Black and abductions and get pretty dark and dirty. And, you know, I think that's another reason why people want to take such a simple view of it. Okay, there are spaceships, we got this going. Because as soon as you get into the rest of the stuff, some of it can be mighty, mighty depressing. But then that also raises the other question, too, which is, how do you interest young people into seriously looking into these subjects, not just watching the reality show or hearing the occasional short bit on a TV news show? I mean really looking into it. How do you interest them when 100,000 will go to Comic-Con and see the stars of Supergirl and The Flash or the DC movies or the Marvel movies?
Well, they are interested in it if they go to Comic-Con, if they're a fan of Supergirl or the Marvel movies or whatever, because they already have a mind that is inclined to thinking about big things and big questions. So do they have to take an interest? I mean, in the old days, like 10 or 15 years ago, I was an advocate for the serious scientific study of the UFO phenomenon, blah, blah, blah. Not so much anymore. Now I'm just kind of cool with sitting down with people, and I know lots of young people who are really jazzed about the idea of alien life, and they love talking about it, and space exploration, and even the idea that maybe it's come here, although that, I think, is less in their focus than the idea of us going out there, but either or, maybe we're somebody else's aliens. Maybe that's the way you, hey, if we can be somebody else's aliens, maybe somebody else's aliens are already been ours. But, you know, I think they're already interested in it. What I don't think they're interested in is UFO conventions and all of the stuff that belonged to a different generation, because that stuff is the equivalent of 1930s jazz music to a generation that's listening to Kanye West now, if you get my drift. You're just speaking two different languages. They consume information differently. They talk about things differently. They shine a light on different areas and have different focuses. They put it all together. They deconstruct it and then reassemble it in a different way than my generation would have. And because, Gene, you come from a generation before mine, your generation would have. I mean, each generation deals with it differently. So when I hear older guys, I don't mean you, Gene, but usually a lot of UFO researchers, and even some younger guys in their 40s say, how do we get youth interested? Well, my answer is they're already interested. You just wouldn't know about it because they do it in different ways than you do. But if you ever run into one of them and sit down and talk to them, which I suspect most of these older UFO researchers don't do, you would understand that there are a lot of kids interested in things that might be called UFOs or the UFO phenomenon, the broader idea of life beyond our planet or life beyond our mortal coil. You're not speaking the same language they are. You're not going to the same places they are. And you know what? You never will. You're never going to be able to get them to come to your UFO conference. That's not how the mountain's not coming to Muhammad. And you're Muhammad, so you have to go to the mountain. And I told Stan years ago, I said, Stan, you've got to get a Facebook page, a website, a Twitter account. These are the things that if you want to connect with younger people, you need to do. And he just looked at me and he said, well, I have a website. It never gets updated. But Twitter and Facebook, nah, I don't really see, you know, it's not me. And I went, that's fine, but understand that you're in a different world than younger people are.
Well, that's a lot of diminishing returns there, that the people who go to a traditional UFO convention, and I'll mention the International UFO Congress coming again this February, and we like Open Minds and we like Alejandro Rojas, but he's not getting the young people, and how therefore do we go to the young people and talk with them on their terms? Obviously, Facebook and Twitter is one thing. Instagram, all the rest, is that the way to do it?
Sure. Well, it's constantly evolving. Anybody in the media industry, like I just said, Facebook and Twitter, right?
Those are old two now. Things. Everybody uses that.
Bingo. Now it's Pinterest and Snapchat and
yep. you can't keep up. So all you can do is try and have the information out there and, frankly, sort of assume that, that there's probably the same number of people, I suspect even more now, interest in it in their own way than there was in years past, because the information's all out there. It's much easier for them to access it, for good and ill. And I actually have a reasonable amount of confidence in the ability of most young people, because I work with a lot of young people. I like hiring young people for my film crews, for instance, because they're the ones with the energy and new ideas and maybe aren't as confined by the old way of doing things. And I'm one of those guys who always wants to try doing things in different ways. So that means I'm constantly renewing my crew and constantly trying to work with younger people. So I'm not saying I have a great insight into how they think, but I think I might have a better insight into how they think than most people my age. You just kind of have to say, look, you go do it your way. We'll do it our way. Film festivals are the same way. We started this conversation, Gene, you asked me about, or Chris mentioned The Arrival, and we got off on the film thing for a bit. Older people go to theaters. Younger people generally more and more consuming films on their tablets, not even on their computers or televisions, on tablets. That is foreign to me, the idea of watching a feature film on an 8x11 or whatever the size of a tablet is. No. Having said that, I do watch Netflix on a tablet, so even I have started consuming in different ways. But that's the same thing is true of UFO conferences. They're the equivalent of the big box theaters. And there's a certain group of people, all of whom are, or almost all of whom are older, that will go to those things. But the younger people, they're consuming it in different ways.
Yeah, so it's going to have to transition to a virtual realm.
Sure, and we're in the process. All of society is in the process of that transition. It's not just UFOs, it's politics, it's everything. And so it's learning. It's how we educate people. And so we're all in that process. People think it's over in 2 or 3 years. No, we're in a – I think the historians in the future will look back and say this was a 50 to 60-year transitional period, much like the Industrial Revolution, where things didn't change overnight. They changed over a period of time. And then a new normal eventually sets in. I'm probably not going to be here when that happens. I don't think any of us will. But we're in the midst of this massive change in technology, how we interact with each other, and that does have an impact on how UFO information is disseminated and how people express their interest in a particular
subject. Well, just information in general. I mean, like you're pointing out, we're midwifing the process in a sense. It's our generation that's come up with the tech, and the kids are getting the wonderful opportunity to grow up with that tech. And of course, a lot of this tech came from the 60s, the use of psychedelics. A lot of these jump starts in technology came from those hippies that you and Nick love to cast scorn upon. A lot of that tech was very visionary, and they're growing up in a wonderful age of instant access to information, incredible miniaturization of technology, and amazing, you know, speeds of processing and just the gobs of storage space. If I ever hear a kid say, I'm bored, there's nothing to do, you don't hear that anymore. The kids are so consumed with their tech that, you know, it's not like when I was a kid playing with Lincoln Logs and Erector Set and, I don't know, we didn't even have Legos. You know, we had a bike, a basketball, a mitt and a glove, and the great outdoors, and lots of books.
Let's break here and we'll talk more about this. We have questions from our listeners also for Paul Kimball. On the other side, like his show, The Other Side of Truth, with Gene, Chris, and Paul. You're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention heartburn drug users. If you or a loved one has taken Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, and suffered serious kidney damage, chronic kidney disease, or kidney failure, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Studies from the JAMA Internal Medicine indicate a significant increased risk of acute and chronic kidney disease from taking proton pump inhibitors. If you or a loved one was diagnosed with kidney failure or chronic kidney disease after taking Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk now. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-225-8944. That's 800-225-8944. Again, 800-225-8944. Call now.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, I think of my son, for example. He's lives in Madrid, Spain. He's got so many activities, most of which I can barely comprehend. And so we don't hear from him very often. But at least when he comes by once a year, he does pay us a modicum of attention. In a little while, Paul, we've got questions from our listeners that Chris will ask, and we'll get to those in a moment. But it's good to consider the possibilities here where we old, crabby old men sitting in a room talking about the good old days. And maybe the good old days are now. We just have to learn to see the new things and new technology. And let me tell you about watching TV on things other than the big TV set. I have an iMac here, and every so often I watch a TV show on it. Because if I'm sitting there a foot away from it, it's as big to me as the 50-inch TV from 10 feet away.
Yeah, my only concern with all of this is, and this relates to a much broader thing than just the paranormal. In fact, you know, politics is much more important than the paranormal. Unless, of course, the paranormal is real, and then it's ultimately more important than anything. But I'm not one of these cranky old guys who says, everything was better when, because then I'd be a Republican. You know, actually, things weren't better back then. History has been a pretty constant series of improvements in terms of our lot in life, in terms of the accessibility we have to information and other things like water and food. The problem is, and the one thing that does concern me with all of this technology, and it gets into the conversation of what kind of alien look at this, here's the Bill Clinton pivot again. What kind of alien culture we might run into, because they would be more technologically advanced than us. So then you would have to say, well, okay, where are we headed? What does our future look like? Because that might be what their future looks like. And that might mean we'll encounter, say, a future version of ourselves. And our future sometimes to me looks bleak, only because of the way that the technology is changing how we interact with each other. So it concerns me in a political sense that technology makes it easier, I think, for demagogues to arise and disseminate information that is not true. And that is always what demagogues rely upon. Anyone who studied the rise of Hitler, for instance, would know that. It concerns me in the way that people interact just individually. So when you don't have conversations anymore, I went to a hockey game with a very good friend of mine. He's like 24, great young filmmaker. I consider him my protege. And we had a good time at the hockey game, except he, more often than I would have liked, was checking his messages on his phone. Now, I didn't complain. I didn't chastise him. I just went back to watching the hockey game. But it irks me, partly because I still think it's rude, even though I understand that's how people act now. I like the idea of just being away from all that technology and having a conversation. And it seems like we can't really do that anymore. And talking about conferences or talking about going to theaters, although it's harder in a theater, but conferences are good things. Film festivals are good things because they bring people together and you can have that kind of face-to-face interaction with folks, which I think is still important to keeping our basic humanity alive and also being able to put a face to a name, to a point of view. So I can interact with all sorts of folks on the Paracast forums. Jeff Davis, there's a good example. So Jeff Davis, on your political thread, has a certain set of views with which I don't agree. I said, in reaction to something he said, this is me apologizing to Jeff. I think I said something like, I don't respect your views because you don't respect mine, whatever it was. And I think he took offense at that, and he probably should have. You know what? I shouldn't have done that. But I don't know Jeff Davis from a hole in the wall. I think I'd like to meet him. Maybe we should all in that thread get together over a beer sometime, and you can start to understand that maybe these aren't all bad people, or that we don't all disagree on everything. But the internet, it just magnifies those things, right? And it focuses you on maybe things that aren't as important, which is why, Bill Clinton pivot again, that I actually think the paranormal is still relevant, because it's one of those areas that still forces us to ask the big picture questions. Are we alone in the universe? What does it all mean, Alfie, as the famous film said? You know, with ghosts, are we mortal and we die and there's nothing else? Or is maybe there's something beyond this for us, which is the existential question we all have to face? And there aren't a whole lot of places left anymore where those kind of questions are being asked, because everybody's so consumed and so paying so much attention to just the mundane things in their daily lives. And technology has made that easier for them. Weirdly enough, technology should make it easier for them to also consider the much bigger questions. But it hasn't worked out that way yet. Maybe it will, but I'm not sure I like the way it's going. So the paranormal might be one of those last refuges where we can have those kinds of conversations.
And by the way, we're going to get another station for the Paracast, a radio station in Wyoming, which will be carrying us towards the end of the year. We'll have more details later on. Chris, there are a bunch of questions for Paul in the question bank forums at forum.theparacast.com. But Paul, because of the fact we only have a segment and a half left, I'm going to have to ask, if possible, and I know it's difficult, to keep the answers short. Chris?
Well, this would be a good one. This comes from Harry Newton in London. Harry's extended a wonderful offer to me to, if I come over to London for a little get-together with some of the Paracasters in the UK are having. He's offered to show me around and put me up. Thanks, Harry. Shout out to you. Yeah, I mean, you can make this as short as you want, but he's wondering what your favorite cryptid case or incident is, what's your favorite ghost case or incident or location, and what's your favorite UFO case.
I'll skip the cryptid one. You know what? Not true. My favorite cryptid, and I don't believe they exist, but I'm curious to go and find out, the Mongolian death worm. I had a conversation with a world traveler and adventurer named Ian Evans, who has a great film out. You should go see it if you can, called Lunatic. He wants to go to Mongolia and bike across Mongolia. And I told him, well, I've always wanted to go to Mongolia because of the Mongolian death war. And he had never heard of it. I was going to do a film called Top 10 Monsters. It was going to be my follow-up to UFOs. And the Mongolian death worm was number 3 on that list. Love the
good
Mongolian
answer.
Death worm. So that's my cryptid one. Best ghost story. anything that Holly and I investigated. Well, not anything. There were a few duds. Shocklack Church. There you go. And I've talked about this on a past episode of the show, I think. But you can find it online. I think that episode is online. So much weirdness happened to Holly and I in one night that it was as if something was playing with us. And it was one of those nights that really opened my eyes to a whole new range of possibilities. That is a church in a, it's not even a village. It's just the middle of nowhere on the Welsh border over in the United Kingdom, England, the English-Welsh border. So Shocklack Church, look that up. Watch it online. I think that's online for free. I think I put that up. And favorite UFO case or best UFO case? That's an ever-evolving answer. Frankly, at the moment, if somebody had to ask me, I'd probably say Shag Harbor here in Canada, just because I spoke at the Shag Harbor UFO Symposium about 2 months ago, and so that's fresh in my head. But it's also one of those great cases with a lot of moving parts, some things that we know are true, and then a bunch of other stuff that are stories that may be true or may not be true. We're not sure. But
really well documented.
Yes. And there's and the other thing, too, all things are personal, right? I know at least three of the witnesses who were involved in the case in Shag Harbor, including Lori Wickens, who is the guy who made the first phone call to the RCMP, and I've spoke to him at length on a number of occasions. But my business partner, my producing partner in Halifax, Ron Foley McDonald, and I've written about this, was a small kid. He saw the Shag Harbor UFO over Halifax. Now, Halifax is about 2.5 hours from Shelburne, which is the Shag Harbor area. It was a sighting that happened not just in Shag Harbor, but it happened all over Nova Scotia over a prolonged period of time that night. Chris Stiles had an encounter that night as well, the one of the two key Shag Harbor researchers with Don Ledger.
It changed his life.
Yes. So when you start to know people who tell you, look, I experienced that because Ron is older than me, I go, really, Ron? Then it becomes more personal to you. And that sort of puts it in a different level.
Paul, you mentioned this very quickly in a previous segment, but once again, you're going to be working with Holly on a new ghost show.
Yes. And if we're lucky, we can go do the Mongolian death worm, too, because I can't get enough Mongolian death worm. It's awesome. Yeah, we have another series. We just got commissioned to do a new series called Haunted, which will look a lot like Ghost Cases, probably. We start filming in February, so it'll be available in Canada in October of next year.
And hopefully the U.S., hopefully somebody will be smart enough to carry that. I look forward to seeing the show. We have one more segment to spend with Paul Kimball, and maybe we're going to kind of prevail on him to stay with us for after the PowerCast to talk about more stuff because we just don't run out here. Got more to come with Gene, Chris, and Paul. You're in
the PowerCast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive PowerCast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the PowerCast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a PowerCast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.thepowercast.com, store.thepowercast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the PowerCast. You go to store.thepowercast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if there were no contracts, no activation fees, no tracking, tracing, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE networks. Introducing PixWireless.com. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, and unlock GSM phones instantly. Bring your own device and make the switch today. Here's how. Call or click 1-800-205-9513 or PixWireless.com. Spelled P-I-X. PixWireless.com.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. TLC Laser Eye Centers is now offering great prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved all-laser LASIK technology for less than what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-933-1427. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra $400 off your all-laser LASIK procedure. That's $200 off per eye. We've already performed over 2 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve for less than what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-933-1427. 1-800-933-1427.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if there were no contracts, no activation fees, no tracking, tracing, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE networks. Introducing PixWireless.com. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, and unlock GSM phones instantly. Bring your own device and make the switch today. Here's how. Call or click 1-800-205-9513 or PixWireless.com. Spelled P-I-X. PixWireless.com.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
How time flies when you're having fun. That almost sounds like a silly cliche, but I know it's true when Paul Kimball comes here. It's just a wonderful, enjoyable session with Gene and Chris in the Paracast. Chris, you have more questions from Question Bank.
We do. Canna Karas is really interested in your opinion on the very, very intriguing aerial school sightings in Zimbabwe. Why don't you go ahead and remind our listeners about the case of the kids. A really good daylight sighting. I think it was, what, in the late 70s, wasn't it?
Honestly, first thing my dad drilled into me when he was drilling things into me was never answer a question that you don't know anything about or pretend you know anything about. I'm familiar with the case, i.e. I know it exists, but beyond that, I hate to disappoint Canna Karas, but I couldn't offer an intelligent comment one way or another because I've never really looked into that case.
Yeah, but I think the UFO Congress, was it last year, Gene, or the year before, one of the kids who's now grown up, came and for the gave her very first public presentation about the case. Of course, John Mack is fairly well known as having gone over and investigated it. It is a very interesting case. But here's one I know you're going to be interested in answering. This is from Wade, one of our longtime posters at the Paracast, where you can go ahead and log into the Paracast forums, go to the question bank, and you can post questions for our guests. Wade wants to talk synchronicity. He says, I'm pretty sure I've heard you touch on this in relation to UFOs, but he says, I wonder if he's ever heard of a synchronistic occurrence in relation to other paranormal phenomena. I would like to ask if some have supposed that UFOs might have a kinship with other paranormal phenomena, why people don't report this occurrence with Bigfoot or ghosts or such. So in other words, he's wondering about mixing and matching, I think, different disparate paranormal phenomena, if you will. What's your opinion on that?
Wow, that could have been the first question of the episode and we'd still be talking about it because it's basically the theme of my book. I wrote a book called The Other Side of Truth after I was done with the ghost hunting thing. You know, it's funny. You've been on Radio Misterioso. Whenever we go on Radio Misterioso, there's always the sirens, right?
Every time.
As soon as you asked me about synchronicity, I heard a siren, which your listeners might be able to hear through my mic. Coming. It sounds like several sirens. So even there, there's a little bit of a synchronicity. There's an entire chapter in my book where I talk about synchronicity. And you know what? Because it so blows my mind, and I've made as much money off the book as I'm ever going to make, I will post that online, that chapter, by way of answering Wade's question, because it would take me far too long to get into, so that the readers of the Paracast can read that chapter. I am fascinated by synchronicity. I've had it happen to me more times than I can count. Walter Bosley, Greg Bishop, and I had this, I talked about it in the book, this thing when we were on Radio Misterioso, and I was in the midst of this, I call it a run of synchronistic events that I was noticing. It was happening to us in the studio, even as we were talking about it, in a truly weird way. You can go back and listen to that show. Greg has it in his bank somewhere from a few years ago. I mean, I could tell you synchronistic stories over and over and over again. It's gotten to the point where my fiance, who's not particularly interested in my paranormal adventuring, I mean, it's just not a focus for her. She's moderately interested, we'll say. Even she finds the synchronicity stuff weird. As soon as I make her aware and tell her these stories, she has noticed it start to happen to her as well. Greg and I have had these long conversations over the years about whether it's always there. And when you're tuned into it, you notice it more. My overarching theory is that it's this advanced non-human intelligence, whatever it is, trying to make itself aware or trying to make us aware of its presence, but not in a direct, as we would say in the film business, on the nose kind of way, but in a much more elliptical way that challenges us to think. Again, why I think the paranormal is one of those last places that really forces us to ask big questions. Synchronicity is part and parcel of that. It might be the most personal one because it always seems tailored to you. So I don't know how much time we have left in the segment. And any synchronicity story that I would tell you probably runs about 4 minutes.
You know what? We've got about 3.5 minutes left, and we can always pursue some more stories in After the Paracast. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll give you one real quick. The Coles Notes version. My fiance is from Prince Edward Island. Her family, her sister and I, her still have a home there. It's a province near Nova Scotia. You have to take a ferry or a bridge to get there. We go there every summer. One of my oldest friends from high school also lives in Prince Edward Island. Small province, but he lives on the other end of where she lives. I have never to this day visited him in his home, even though it's only an hour away from where she lives. I'm a terrible friend. But so we're driving over 2 years ago, and we took the bridge. And the bridge is on his end of the island, so it's the Confederation Bridge, one of the 7 modern wonders of the world. For the first time in my life, I made a wrong turn off the bridge. It was night, and it was the road that led into his town. And as soon as I get on, I went, I just made the wrong turn for no reason. I wasn't paying attention. So I turned around, got back on the highway, and headed to the other end of the island where Linda lives. But Linda and I were joking about this, saying, that's as close as I've ever gotten to visiting Jeff. So the next day, we're driving north from her place to a national park, Greenwich National Park, which the sand dunes are amazing. You should, if you ever get a chance, go there. She and I had this fight over what to listen to, classical music on CBC or pop music on this 80s channel. I prevailed, and so we were listening to oldies music. Three Dog Night, Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog, dum dum dum, comes on. As soon as that song comes on, a frog jumps across this isolated country road right in front of my car. Literally, as he said, Jeremiah has a bullfrog. This frog jumps out in front of the car, slammed the brakes on. We both go, well, that's weird. Funny thing, my friend that lives in Summerside, he and I, when we were in high school, used to sing that song all the time. We'd go like, Jeremiah is a bullfrog, because it's just kind of a cool song. I used to play it on the ukulele. Moving on. We get to the national park. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's close to closing. There's almost nobody there. And there's this van in the parking lot. I park next to the van. I get out. I walk away. There's people in the van, but I don't notice who they are. I get to the park ranger's desk inside. Linda goes to use the washroom. And I'm standing next to this woman. And I look over and I realize, that's Jeff's wife, my friend. He's in the van in the parking lot. And so I go on, it's like, wah! Linda comes out, she says, your mind is blown. And again, it's the story, right? Any one of those things I chalk up to a coincidence. All of those things happening within a one-day period, to me, that's synchronicity. As I joked with Jeff, I said, I think somebody's trying to tell me I really need to come down and visit you at your home one of these years. He's not a paranormal guy, but even he said, Paul, you're in a weird place right now. I'm taking my family. We're going home. We'll talk soon kind of thing. So all of that happening the way it happened, and that happens more often than you would think. And so I think, you know, maybe because I opened myself up to it, I see more of it than most people do. But I think it's the one paranormal thing that we can all kind of tune into if we really want to. It still freaks me out.
Good point. You know what we should do, Paul, is hold you over, and on the next episode of After the Paracast, we continue with the discussion of synchronicity that can be open-ended. We can go on for 30, 40 minutes, no problem. In the meantime, Paul sure. Kimball, could you tell our listeners, other than the Paracast Plus, where we've got other Side of Truth content for audio and video, where they can find more information about you?
The easiest place would just be to Google Paul Kimball in parentheses. My paulandrewkimball.com website is not about anything other than politics anymore because I'm running for elected office up here in Canada. So when I talk briefly about politics, I actually put my money where my mouth is, and I got involved, which is what I think we should all do. But just, yeah, Google my name, and the websites will pop up, and they'll be there. Or my handle on the Paracast forums. I have the two, my company website and my personal website. They're underneath my profile.
And he's on the Paracast forums as Paul Kimball.
Yes.
We insist he use his real name. You can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. Yes, we are on Twitter. We're on Facebook with a pair of Paracast fan clubs, a group and a community. You can define that any way you want. And as we mentioned, we have a second radio show called After the Paracast. And that's where sometimes we'll continue interviews like we'll do with Paul here. Or we have just Chris and I or some other guests and I chatting about one thing or another. It's unpredictable. We also give you the commercial-free version of this show where we knock out the 41 minutes of network ads with better quality audio. And all this joy now includes content from The Other Side of Truth, Paul Kimball's podcast. And he just did a new one that will go up in a few days by the time you hear the show. So you don't want to miss that. Video content and more for a low price. $4.99 a month on a month-to-month basis, or you can subscribe by the year, by 5 years, or for the rest of your life. We'd love that. Go to plus.theparacast.com. You don't need all the other stuff, just plus.theparacast.com for simple sign-up instructions. Paul Kimball, we'll be talking again soon. Thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thanks for having me. Nice talking to you both, Gene, Chris.
Yeah, thanks
very much.
Featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's ROCKOIDS.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.